Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Connor here, joined by Mike, and we are excited to sit down and talk and be with you through this format. We recorded a podcast for the last episode about marriage. It was Mike's best marriage and parenting advice 34 years in. Mike, you just had your anniversary on Sunday, so 34 years of hard-earned wisdom was coming to us last week. But this week, it's going to be a little bit more of kind of a scattershot. Just I'm going to be peppering some questions at you, Mike, about marriage again, and maybe a little bit more trending in the parenting direction this time. You just preached a sermon on Sunday about this from Ephesians chapter 6, and you can pull that up on the website too if you're hearing this and you didn't happen to catch that message. But Mike, what I want to focus on is toward the end of your message, you had seven practical pieces of wisdom. I think you said something like, this is wisdom from the guy who doesn't know it all, but let me just give you some practical wisdom in terms of parenting. So I was wondering if you actually, would you be willing to first just read through that list for us?
Sure.
Or if there's a better way to do it, you can tell me, but do that. And then I can just maybe throw some questions out and we'll go from there.
So you didn't memorize this?
I didn't. I'm sorry.
All right, that's all right.
Yeah.
All right. So this was on Ephesians 6:4, preaching Ephesians 6:4, parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And where I was in the sermon was, first point, parenting, Christian parents must be courageous. And the idea that you get the title, but you don't deserve it. And you're literally like, it's beyond your abilities. And you go, trusting the Lord and the word and all of that. Secondly, parents need to be cautious. It says, do not provoke your children. Don't do something again and again on an ongoing basis. It's going to bring them to a deep-seated anger and resentment towards you. And that's a stopping an action that's in progress. So be cautious about provoking your children. And then the third point was, we need to be consistent. And the idea is bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So discipline, the actual consequences, demonstrative consequences for breaking the rules of a Christian household, and then instruction, which is verbal training. Okay.
Yeah.
And so
super helpful.
Yeah. And then I didn't get to the last point. We're going to pick that up this Sunday. Okay. The last point. So it'll be parenting part two. And I think it's like, are you going to go with the ways of the world or the word of God kind of an idea?
Got it. Okay.
Because we're going to look at the last point.
Okay.
But then, so parents, what the point I made was, as you bring them up, here's seven pieces of advice. So the first was, bless your children with the word and prayer on a daily basis. Number two, reassure them of your love. Number three, notice good deeds. Don't just correct or pick out the bad. Number four, trust God's process as they grow and give room and space. Number five, love Jesus more than your kids or the techniques that you use. Number six, be grateful and don't compare. And then number seven, you're sending out family representatives.
Yeah. So I really thought the list was awesome and I loved it. There's a lot of questions I could ask, but the first thing, maybe just when you were putting that list together, were there any just mishaps that you'd say, I just have watched parents kind of walk down this dead end time and time and time and time again, that was kind of feeding into some of what you were saying there? Any like major mishaps come to mind?
Well, major mishap, I would just say aggregate, you know, the ideas that, So the reason I always start with bless your children with the word and prayers, because that isn't a common everyday occurrence in every Christian home, and it should be.
Yep.
Okay. Biblically speaking, God designed it that parents would teach their kids the word of God systematically in the home, that the child would make the connection by hearing the parents' voice, reading the word and explain it to them and observing their life, that this is the way we live.
Yeah.
This is what we do. And we pray and we're in the word, that's not good. Just Sunday and Wednesday at church.
I was just gonna say, I grew up in a home like that. And it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I realized, this isn't what's happening in every Christian home, you know?
Yeah.
So now looking back, I'm so thankful. So, sorry, keep going.
No, that's great. And reassuring of love. I think there's the times I've seen parents be harsh with their kids, and just kids need reassurance. They just need to be, kids need to know that there's limits and that, you know, there's those fences, but that the parent isn't going to just throw them away. The noticing the good deeds and not correcting, again, the parents that I've seen that maybe were too dialed into, you know, what the kids were doing wrong all the time. Okay. The giving them room, I think that's the whole idea too, of like, when I see people invert this idea of, you know, being the captain, the coach, and the confidant, and they try to be the confidant way early, and then they try to coach, and then they're trying to grab for control.
That was good.
And yep. I use an example of in school where the professors that start really easy have to grab for control as time goes on, but the ones that start really strict can ease up. But as when kids are young, you're the captain, you stipulate everything. When you're when they're like a teen, you're coaching them. But when they're an adult, then you're their confidant and companion and all of that. So I think the trusting God's process as they grow, but give them room and space. Don't smother them with your thing, you know.
Did you ever, I was just going to ask, is that hard at times? I mean, that's gotta be hard, right?
Do you ever, like if someone who does baking, and they're baking bread or cookies or whatever, I don't do that, but I eat that. And I'm saying like, I just notice how careful people are with cooking and with baking and stuff. Because if you do the wrong thing, it ruins it one way or the other. You burn it or you undercook it or you cause it to fall or whatever it is. So yeah, this is like a feel thing. You're trusting the process, and as they grow, and you're basically making adjustments on the fly a little bit, right?
So maybe that's the next point I thought was super helpful. Love Jesus more than your program or your system or however you phrased it.
More than your kids or your techniques.
More than your kids or your techniques. So I think that maybe there can be a danger of, I just need to get the right framework for how I'm going to feather the clutch and do that transfer from, you know, more control to more hands off. But the little adjustments, as you're just loving the Lord, trusting Him, praying, that's that just feels so key. Any mishaps that kind of fed into that point, that fifth point?
I've just seen on one end of the spectrum, I've seen people that that are literally idolizing their kids, and I've seen people that are literally like using their kids as a science experiment or something. I don't know. It's like you literally, you know, people will say, oh, we're not going to put our kids on the altar of this or that or the other. Well, you put your kid on the altar of your parenting technique. I mean, you literally use them as you Frankenstein your kids, you know? It's
I think it was at that point where you were talking about how parents can just get really wrapped up sometimes in this thing about diet or about, I mean, all the different little, I don't know, pieces that can become so school choices and medicine. I don't know, just all those kind of things. And it's not a bad thing to have opinions, but I feel like you had a good corrective there of this is about the Lord and raising up your kids to know Him and all these little things that we can become so committed to. We just can overplay that.
Yeah, sometimes. You can be over-choiced or over-regulated, but also you can be under-regulated. Mm. If anything goes, it's like if it's all loosey-goosey and just we're just gonna, you know, react to life as it comes. You're going to be crazy. You're going to be like a yo-yo. It's like, no, that doesn't work. So you've got to have enough where you're doing, you're moving in a direction. But it's got to be somewhere in the middle. Like the Bible is never, you know, nothing or everything. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like in terms of like, the Bible is always balanced.
Balance. Yep. Totally. How about that? The comparison.
Grateful. Don't compare. I just think that it's easy for kids and parents and spouses to look over on the other side of the fence and see the grass greener. And then you get over there and it's not. There's brown patches too. And I just feel like it's just judgment and comparison they're just not good for you. They're just not good for you. The only way that it would be good for you is if you judged your own heart and compared your own heart against what is shown in the Word and the best examples Christians, as you read a biography, a Christian biography, you're literally judging your own heart and you're comparing yourself.
Like,
then maybe do that.
Yeah.
But don't do it where it ever comes out of your mouth towards other people.
That's good. And the last one I love, the idea that you're sending out little representatives of your home. Can you elaborate on that? Or can you even speak to where you'd say maybe parents don't have a vision for that?
Well, okay. For first of all, I wouldn't be too the idea about sending out family representatives, I wouldn't be too dialed in on it.
Okay.
I would just be generally aware.
Okay.
And the reason why is because if not, then it's like you own them and you are saying, hey, don't embarrass the family out there.
Right.
Or by all means, make sure that the family reputation is kept. Now, I'm not saying
not that
at all.
No.
I am saying though, I used to say to my kids, like, hey, out in public, You need to protect each other. You need to stand up for each other if somebody's messing with you, you know, that kind of thing. But God, you know, we don't own our kids. God, they're on loan and we're stewards. But we are sending out family representatives. We don't get take credit for every good thing we see, but we also don't blame ourselves for every bad thing that happens. But this, but I like to say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by that? Well, in general, our kids, they either mirror or they reflect what they've been taught, what they've been given. You see the family resemblance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, you know, like, you know how you see it in, because by virtue of being born into the same family, I think you see it in the way of the choices that we make too. So I'm just saying, like, just be aware of it and go, oh yeah. You know, like, I would want parents to go, oh, I need to teach my kid the word and prayer. I need to teach them to be godly. I shouldn't be cussing in front of my kids, or I shouldn't be getting in arguments with my spouse mm-hmm. in front of my kids, or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Or I shouldn't just withhold confession of my sins because I'm too proud to do that in front of my kids when they've seen it. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
I would just say, like, look, you want to praise God for good fruit when you see it. And any parent that it's happening in a good way where something good comes out of their kids, they're always humble. They're always like, by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But again, if you're only looking at like their grades or their, what school they got into, or what college they're going to, or what job they have and what car they were able to afford and what kind of house they bought, I'm sorry, but those things will burn.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be concerned about sending out a representative of your family that has godly character.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. That's kind of what I was pointing out.
Yeah. Amen. That's really good.
Without taking any credit for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard one husband who's talking about, he and his wife, they said, like, we think of our home like a little mini kingdom with its own kind of like customs and norms. And like when someone leaves the home, it's like we're sending someone out into it, you know, and they're interacting with other kingdoms. And I don't know. I just kind of thought that was a cool picture. I wouldn't run too far with it, but just that idea that there's a family culture, you know, there's like something, not with pride, but there's with joy, something that, you know, it means something to be a part of a believing family. And you get to kind of leave like a, you know, ambassador or something when you're out of the home, but then you come back and then at some point you send someone off, obviously. So, let me go here, Mike. I know that we're not going to have probably too much longer on this episode, but just thoughts for discouraged parents. You mentioned, you know, I think a few things in the sermon on Sunday, but, you know, I think there's probably someone who's listening to this, maybe who's just, probably every parent who's listening to this is wrestling with something. So where would you go to just encourage somebody who's feeling discouraged right now as a parent?
Okay, thoughts for discouraged parents. And I would probably be maybe obvious, but maybe a little counterintuitive, okay? I would say if you're that discouraged parent and your kids aren't turning out like you had hoped, okay? You probably realize maybe you've made some mistakes, but maybe things didn't turn out well. You might think, I did everything right and things didn't work out. Well, I'm sorry, but everyone doesn't do everything right, mm-hmm. okay? So kids and parents disappoint. And I guess I would just say that if you're blaming yourself, okay, I hope this comes out the right way, but if you're blaming yourself, okay, you do need encouragement, but it's not coddling. Like we say, we don't coddle our kids. We shouldn't coddle parents and go, no, yeah, it's all your kids' fault.
Mm.
I think it's appropriate to blame yourself rightly.
Hmm.
That's what we do when we repent and we confess. What if a parent had been too lenient with their kids? Okay? And what if the kid is going off the rails and they're out of the house now, but they still have a relationship? Would it be wrong for a Christian parent to say to that wayward kid in a moment where there's nobody's arguing, nobody's upset, you know, I need to talk to you about something very serious. And I'm not going to have the talk that says you need to get yourself in line. But I made some mistakes that I think played into what you're like today.
Hmm.
I let you have everything you yelled for. I let you have everything you cried for. I gave you and gave you and gave you and never wanted to discipline you. And I'm realizing I am reaping that. And you might not even see it, but I want to own that and say, I shouldn't have done that. I regret it. I can't go back in time. But is there a way that we could work through this a bit together? That's a real life discussion you could have. I don't know of anyone who's ever had that discussion, but I'm sure people have. Okay. I just think so many times that there are things that have played into the provoking. Like I used to say, hey, nobody makes you mad. You choose to be mad. Okay. But the thing is, Ephesians 6:4 says, don't make your kids mad.
Someone could make them mad. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Hmm. That a provocation is real.
Right.
That a provocation is not something you lay at the foot of the other person and say, well, you just didn't take it the right way. Okay. Now, could someone get provoked and you didn't do anything wrong? Yeah, that's possible. That's mm-hmm. in the realm of possibility. But I guess the thing is, like, you could say, yeah, well, you chose to get mad. But the thing is, if you're getting provoked, that is something that needles someone, pokes them. And you know what I mean? So, yeah, that there is a sense where a blame could be rightly pointed at someone. I mean, look at the Bible. Look at the New Testament. You got plenty of examples, or the Old Testament, where it's like, you did this and this happened. You're to blame. But I think we're so averse to blame nowadays that we just want to explain it all away. And it's like, no. Hmm. Like, the pain of repentance is such that what the best things in my life have come out of the pain of my repentance.
Hmm.
Okay? I'm just saying some of the best things in life come out of the pain of repentance, and then you go and make it right with someone. Now, it doesn't always work out.
Yeah.
Okay? But I guess I'm saying if you're a discouraged parent, maybe you're rightly discouraged. Maybe there's some things you need to look at.
Hmm.
Okay? And you're like, yeah, but I beat myself up. No, I'm not talking about beating yourself up. I'm like telling yourself the truth.
Hmm.
Tell yourself the truth. And life isn't always roses and sweetness, okay? It's sometimes it's thorns.
Right.
So I'm not saying it's not everything like that, but that's where we don't go.
That was counterintuitive. I wasn't expecting you to go there, but I really appreciate it. One thing I'm thinking of too, you know, and we don't probably have time to unpack this, but sometimes it might be the case that someone's having these feelings when their kid is grown and out of the house, and they're maybe on that wayward kind of path. But sometimes maybe somebody's kind of waking up to this when their kids are still in the home and they're at whatever stage, you know, of life, they're young or they're, they're late elementary, they're a teenager.
Yeah.
Do you have anything really quick for a parent who's in that situation where there's actually still a little bit more opportunity for influence? I think it'd be pretty similar. Oh, yeah. I can imagine the conversation of, hey, I've been kind of, dad and I or mom and I have been doing some kind of thinking and we're realizing that there have been some things that we've failed you in.
Okay.
And is that, I mean, anything that you'd add to that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me go to that first one. Well, let's say they're out of the house.
Okay.
And you go, you know what? I keep praying for them. They tell me I don't want anything to do with you or whatever it is. And I don't want anything to do with Jesus. At some point you leave them in God's hands. Okay. And you can't just keep beating a dead horse. If someone is just rejecting you over and over again, you try to bless them and you do whatever you can. Okay. Yeah. If there's an opening, I think it's wonderful to be able to communicate with truth and love. Okay. Mm. But let's just say you still have time. Let's say your kid is 12, 13, 14, 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And let's say there's some things. Yes. And I think it's okay to say, like, look, we're going to presumably launch you when you're 18. You might be going away to college. You might be doing this. You might be doing that. It is our responsibility before you leave our household to do all we can to point you in the ways of the Lord, even if we have not been consistent, even if we know we are very, very flawed parents and sinful parents, and we're admitting it, but we're like, we want to do the right thing. It's not too late to say, we're going to start reading the Word together as a family.
Hmm.
We're going to start praying together. Mm-hmm. And it could be organic, could be systematic, whatever fits your family. There's not one size fits all here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, have the discussions. But I would say, parent, if you're in that category right now, you are the parent. You stand up and take control of your family in an appropriate way. Get the right help you need. Come talk to one of our pastors and elders, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
And that's confidential. Get some biblical counseling, whatever you need.
Yeah.
But yes,
that's good.
Like redeem the time.
Hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Redeem the time before you launch them, before they go out. Because what I find is the things that don't get addressed in the family unit can often break out on others outside the family unit. And so if we do the hands-off thing, go, well, you know, I can't do anything about it. The stone is already rolling downhill or whatever. It's like, wait a minute. Yes, there is plenty you can do right now in the time you have left.
Yeah.
Trust the Lord and do what is right.
That's great.
Okay. Come up with a plan, help some, get some advice, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good. Really good. Okay. Last question from me. You know, you could push this too far, but it seems like any given generation probably has certain tendencies. So my question would be, you know, thinking of the younger generation of parents that you're seeing in our church, here, what are you a fan of? What are you thinking? I think younger parents are really locked in on this. You know, I'm really encouraged. And then is there anything that we should be aware of, younger parents, where you're going, okay, I'm seeing maybe a tendency that's not so healthy. Yeah.
Okay. So looking at younger parents and going, hey, what am I a fan of? What younger parents are doing and what might I be a little concerned about or things like that?
Yep. Okay. This is the last question. So.
Yeah. First of all, I would just say this. I remember when we were young parents, some of the older parents around us were like, well, when we, you know, all the young parents are saying it's so hard right now and we did, it was harder for us. And it was like, wow, you're not helpful. Okay. Huh. And all I would say is I want to be the last person to kind of point at young parents and kind of wag my finger. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want that to be clear. And I want it to be like, I don't make comments all the time about young parents because I think you have to be sensitive. And I think about what I learned when I was a younger parent and seeing the ones that wanted to kind of make it hard on younger parents. So I'm really careful and I'm kind of almost reticent to say anything, but I'll say a few things. What I see younger parents doing well, there are a lot of younger parents that are taking it seriously to disciple their kids in the ways of the Lord, like reading the word, praying with them, having them in church, sitting there, teaching them how to sit through in church and have them in home group together, not in babysitting, have them on a mission trip with you, just bring them into all the Christian life together. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've seen that and I love that. Okay.
That's awesome.
So, and I think that's a byproduct of us encouraging that as well. But I love the fact that the young parents do that. I think that I've observed young parent after young parent that is appropriately, they are appropriately disciplining their kids. Like I see like gentle, like we always used to say, be loving and firm, say not too harsh, not too easy. And I think I see that. If I would be maybe like concerned, I would say I share the concern of every generation. Whatever trends and fads people latch onto. Hmm. When I first came to Grace, I called them voodoo beads, but there were these amber beads that every kid had to have around their neck and because it helped them not get this or it helped them with teething or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's new waves that I don't see as many amber beads anymore.
Yeah.
But I see, you know, I hear a lot of, you know, things. And I'm like, right now it's more into the organic and into the all cotton and into the real diapers and all of that. Like, whatever. I don't really worry about stuff like that. I'm like, those are just waves. So you drink A2 milk or whatever you know, you buy $14 a gallon milk, whatever it is, you know, I appreciate the fact that all these parents have locked onto. When I was growing up, we didn't have all the additives in our food. Now the food does have all these additives. I'm familiar with, I'm sensitive to that at age 62. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going, I'm more careful about it because when I was growing up, we didn't have to worry about all these injected things in all the food and all the dyes and all these kind of things. So I would say that I think is a good thing. I would just say, again, I share it with every generation, but sometimes people get a little weird with their, you know, the overregulated family are the ones that I'm always concerned about. Mm. Kids have to be nap at this time and that time, but some people are more regulated. But also the underregulated family I'm concerned about both extremes, where they don't seem to be disciplining or they don't seem to be watching. Their kids can just run wherever they want when they're at church, and you're like, if that happens at church, I can imagine what happens at the supermarket and at the park and whatever,
you know. I was also gonna say that sometimes I think people are surprising in a certain setting. It might be one extreme and another setting it's another, you know.
Yeah.
Like some parents, I think like the discipline's too heavy at times, but then it's non-existent at times. Yes. Right. So it's almost like you're looking for that wisdom that's kind of spanning all of life. Yeah. That's super helpful, Mike. Yeah.
But I would just say this. I'm very encouraged by what I see with the younger generation, and I'm heartened and encouraged, and I'm just always praying. It's like, and again, I just don't worry about all the fads because every generation has them. My generation had them. We just followed those things and they weren't all bad. Mm. There's some good advices you get and whatever, but you're just choices you're making.
Yeah.
But I'm more concerned about, are your kids in the word and prayer with you? Are you disciplining them appropriately in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Are there real consequences?
Yeah.
And are there verbal things? And are they being assured of your love as well as you're firmly, you know, leading them in the right direction? And, you know, you're not isolating, you're not fully immersing, you're just trying to redemptively interact in the world with your family.
Yeah.
So I'm always encouraged by that. I think every generation should be doing that.
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah. I'll mention one thing just as a tee up for maybe a future episode, and then we're going to wrap this one up. But, you know, something with this generation that you just, you don't have a lot of opportunity to appeal to the previous generations for help with is the proliferation of screens. So I just think that's a huge thing. That, you know, the amount of words online about that is colossal, right? So, but I think it's, I think young parents are thinking about it so much because they're going, what do I do with this? You know, and the impacts are really far reaching for kids. So, I'll just
can
put
I,
that
can
there.
Can I say one more thing too?
Please. Yeah, please.
Cause we'll tee this up for another time, but screens and words, like unscreened words, there's just a lot of, there's a lot of words that get used nowadays in all medias that didn't used to be appropriate. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. That's good. Yep. Good for a future episode. Okay. Well, listeners, thank you for staying with us through that. Hope it was a good encouragement to you. And Mike, I just think there's a lot of good encouragement and wisdom. So thank you. We love you. And if you're at Grace, we're praying for you throughout the week. We will talk to you next time on the podcast. God bless you and have a great day.